reading several verses out of chapter 8, starting at verse 16 in the book of Romans. Bible says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's a pretty good verse, amen? Amen. You might want to underline that one. I consider that our present... Anybody got sufferings this week? Yeah, we got some challenges our way. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. There's some stuff in that verse, amen? We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope is that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. One more verse. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Lord, we come to you this morning knowing that you are mighty and good. Lord, we see your goodness, Lord, reflected in the lives around us, Lord. As Gail's mother passes and her testimony read in that service yesterday, we see indeed your goodness lasts all the way to the finish. Lord, I thank you that we come to you this morning, Lord, that in our struggles, Lord, that you aid and guide and direct us, that you are the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, I want to give you an update on our electricity. 2 weeks ago, we had service in the dark. It was not planned. It was thrust upon us by a faulty electrical system. At that time, I figured, well, we're not going to have church in the dark. That's a regular thing. So we decided to upgrade our electricity. We walled in one of the windows in Ann's office, stuccoed the outside. Guys came in from Pastor Enrique's church, meets after us today, put up a brand new panel, had the city come out and said, no, 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 that's not good enough. So took that panel off the wall, put up another panel. And last Wednesday, the city came out and said, yes, you guys are ready to go. That night, we blew another fuse. We have been blowing fuses, I think, every Wednesday night. Well, the last time we blew a fuse, Wednesday before we blew a fuse, we knocked out the electricity on the whole block by our problems. This kind of spreads around. So we got news on Friday that SDG&E will be coming out this Thursday and connecting up our brand new power source. You know, look out there and feels good seeing that brand new panel, all that new wire and all new everything. But you know what? We're just not done yet. We're not finished yet. And that is how Paul describes our lives in the middle of chapter 8 of Romans. Says that we are indeed halfway. Romans chapter 6 through 8, we're in a series called Freedom of Choice. Paul has laid the foundation for that choice that we can move from a life of sin into a life of the Spirit because of the death of Christ on the cross. That he indeed paid for our sins, and because of that payment, that application of his payment to our lives, God says you can choose new life in me. I hope you have done that today. I hope that you have moved from darkness to light, that you have moved from the life of sin to the life of the Spirit, moving out of the old and into the new. But as we read these verses, you see that we are indeed only halfway. It is like our electricity. We've got so much done. It's all ready to go, but it's not finished yet. It is halfway. And I want to let you know today that if you don't get halfway, you'll never get to the finish. Can I get a witness on that? There is some struggle in being halfway. We're still blowing fuses on our system. When it's done, there'll be no more fuses to blow. Amen? Amen. When we get to the finish line, all the challenge that we are experiencing now will be passed away. All the wonderful things that we have in the Lord, the things that Gail talked about, family, the promises of God, how he comes and meets us in our moment of need, are all the wonderful things that happen. But we see that there is just more to that in these verses. That running through these verses is glory, can I get a witness? Amen. And groaning. Oh, could we just get the glory and forget about the groaning? But hey, when you're halfway, there is some stuff that marks the halfway point. And one of the things that marks the halfway point is suffering. If you don't got no suffering, you ain't got the halfway yet. So I hope you got some. Because if you don't get to halfway, you won't get to the finish line. The title of today's message is a focus on the finish. One of the cool things about suffering is you get your eye on the finish line. Amen. It's like, whoa, it's so hard. Let's just get done. Let's take a look at the focus on the finish. All right, first verse and a half here. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God. And God does not want you to have any confusion. So if you are in his family, he's going to let you know. Amen? I hope you get, as you read these verses, a nice warm feeling in your soul as the Lord says, son, as the Lord says, daughter, I am so glad you came to my house this morning and you could hang out with your brothers and sisters and you could participate in all that I have for you this morning. But perhaps you don't have that warm feeling. Perhaps you come in here and you're going, wow, this is a weird place. Kind of like when you go visit some people that you don't really know. And you go in their house and you go, whoa, what is that smell? I don't know that smell. See, you got the Holy Ghost inside you. You come inside this church and you go, oh, it just feels like home. You know, I go to other churches, you know what? And I walk in, I go, just feel like home. But this doesn't feel like home this morning. It could be that you don't got any relatives in the house. The Holy Spirit does not want you confused. He wants you to know if you are in or out. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And sometimes the truth of God is not the most pleasant thing you're going to hear. Like he might be saying, you're not part of my family. If you read some of the parables of the Lord, he gets to the end, he says, I never knew you. They say, what? See, the Lord does not want you to get to judgment day not knowing him. He wants you sitting here today in all comfort and peace, and as we read today, suffering, but knowing that you are halfway and knowing that you are headed to the finish. Amen?
Amen.
No confusion. God doesn't want you to have any. You know, and it is so cool. He says that we are heirs with God. That means that there is good stuff that is coming. Amen? You ever inherited something? You ever been told that you're going to inherit? This is for you. You know, I have a lamp. I think we already got it, by the way. Lisa's grandmother, I was looking at her lamp. I said, that is a nice lamp. And she said, you know what? I'm going to give that to you. That is going to be your inheritance, so to speak. And we got that lamp in our home right now. In fact, me and Joe are painting this car. Joe's painting the car. And we're going to paint the car the color of that lamp. It's because we like that color. That's being an heir. It's like, hey, I got stuff that I'm waiting for. And we are talking about waiting on the good stuff that God has. We are in line for the good stuff. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's keep going. We live with expectations of glory. Glory is pretty good. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And here's that part again. If indeed we share in his sufferings. I wish we could just line that part out. Amen? Just take like an exacto knife and just cut it right out the Bible. Take some of these ifs out. It says, we are co-heirs with Christ if indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul says, what you're going through right now is nothing. Remember going to kindergarten? How scary it was? And you just thought it was just the most terrifying thing? And now you look at kindergarten, you go, kindergarten, really? That's what Paul says about our sufferings and getting to heaven. It's like, man, it's nothing. Your present sufferings are nothing compared to the glory of God. Read you about the glory. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God. Close your eyes. Just get a picture. The new Jerusalem floating down. This is what John saw in his revelation from the Lord. He says, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Get a picture. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I make all things new. The Bible tells us there will be a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth have passed away. We will get new bodies. No wheelchairs in heaven. No diabetes in heaven. No crutches in heaven. You know what? We get to heaven, these bodies can't handle the glory we're going to get. So we got to get brand new glories, brand new bodies to handle the glory of God. It says here, we are co-heirs with Christ. I had an Uncle Hugh. He was a rich man. He was very rich. He had oil in Bakersfield. And he died, and there was a list that went to all the family members, and all the stuff went on a list. And my mom said, you could pick something. And I picked this little alligator. It was actually an ivory alligator, pretty nice. My kids dropped it and busted it, but... but there was over 1,000 things on the list. And what I got was some little minuscule thing. We talk about being heirs of God. We're not going to get some little minuscule thing. We're not going to get something 872 on a list of 1,000. We are co-heirs with Christ. we are number one on the list. We are full participants as members of the family of God of all of the promises that are in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so we take a look at what is headed our way. We are full participants in the glory of God that will come. Paul says, man, whatever you're going through now is not even worth comparing to what is coming your way. Life in a wheelchair. My grandmother had hundreds of strokes before she passed away, and she was curled up. And she lived for a couple of years after her initial stroke. And I remember talking to her when she could no longer talk or respond, and said, Lord, Grandma, I don't know why the Lord's doing this. But I know in about 10,000 years, you're not even going to sweat these last 2 years down here, because our present sufferings are nothing in comparison. You know, there's real suffering going on down here. We've got a couple of pictures that are rather alarming. The suffering that Christ went through. He lived for his Father, carried out his Father's will, and they took him, they beat him, and they crucified him. So that we are to participate in those sufferings, and the opportunity, the challenge to participate in those sufferings are rather remote in San Diego. But in Syria and in Iraq, there are Christians that are suffering in the same way that Christ did. I have two graphic pictures that are not fake. You can look away. But this first one is a crucifixion of 8 Christians crucified because they're Christian. There's a dead man laying on the ground. Real deal stuff. This man put a sign on him, crucified for Christ. Halfway home, there's a lot of suffering. You don't get halfway, you don't get to the finish. This man made it to the finish. There is no more suffering for him. He indeed has met the Lord. Let's continue on. Halfway home. Verses 19 through 21. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation fights with frustration. Creation, all that has been created, is struggling with being bound in this creation, this subjected thing, and it's just like it's just tied, and it's just like trying to get out, and just can't get out. And it's looking for something more. It's looking for liberation. It's looking to be set free. It is looking to for the sons of God. That there is a unity. There's a finish line that's coming, and creation itself is waiting in frustration for that finish line to come. Paul tells us here that the creation was subject to frustration by the one who subjected it, and we ask ourselves, who is doing the subjecting? And some would say, well, it's the devil. Maybe. Some would say, Adam. Adam. Adam's the one. Because he was the one who brought in sin that brought about this frustration, that brought about the fall, that brought about all this suffering. And those are two options, but I do not believe that either one is correct. Because when you take a look at it, Adam is not powerful enough. And Satan is not powerful enough. There's only one that is powerful enough. And that is our Lord. You say, wait a minute, wait a minute. Well, let me read from you from Genesis chapter 3. Because Adam was cursed. And Eve was cursed. And Satan was cursed. And he who was doing the cursing was the he who created it all. Bible says, Genesis 3:17, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, cursed is the ground because of you. We read about the fall of man in chapter 3. See these curses placed on Adam, Eve, and Satan. And we see that the creation, we see that the ground is a spillover from the curse that Adam had received. And because of that curse, it is the creation that is in bondage, tied up. It is trying to push back. It is just existing in frustration, anticipation. But notice, there is hope in these verses that it says that there is a hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and that there is a purpose to all the suffering, all the pain, all the drama that we have at the halfway point, that we'll get to the finish line. Amen? And there is a finish that is there. Read about it just talked about it just a moment ago, that the old heaven and the old earth have passed away. Creation gets that new heaven and that new earth. It's going, whoo, set free. That is sounding pretty good. Hard to see it. The purpose of God when you're at the halfway point. You have to trust that it is coming. Amen? All right. Redemption comes at the finish line. Redemption comes at the finish line. Continuing to read on, it says that we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. See, we're at the halfway point, and as you look towards the finish line, you see that there is something better on the other side. Amen? That there is a redemption, that there is a culmination of the plan of God that creation is waiting for, and that if you have the first fruits of the Spirit, you are waiting for that as well. You say, oh, Lord, I got the first fruits, but, Lord, I'm waiting for the crop to come home. Amen? I mean, the first fruits are okay, but it is like the leading edge. I want the whole enchilada. Anybody like enchiladas? Like Friday night, I'm waiting for the whole fish taco, man. Don't give me an edge of a tortilla. I want the whole thing. We're not made for this any more than creation is. And we struggle and we groan. We want more. Looking for the rest. And as good as all this is, we look around and we see what a dump this planet really is. Oh, there's so much good stuff. Yeah, but we are surrounded by sin. This whole planet is steeped in death and decay and sin. In comparison to the heaven that is coming and the new earth that is coming and the glory that will be revealed in that new creation, in our new bodies, in our new earth. Oh, my. There is some groaning that is going along saying, wow, Lord, why? How much longer do we have to wait? And Paul says, oh, we groan. I got to think Paul was groaning. He had a thorn in his side. Oh, Lord. How much longer do I got to stay down here? You feel it? We got some groaners around here. You know who's a groaner? My wife. You talk to her at length, she will say, oh, man, I am tired of all this sin. Have you heard her say it? She says, I want to move to Iowa. I know she says that. She says, oh, she was looking at the pictures of your mom. She's going, oh, my, I want to move back to the 50s. But you know what? Even in the 50s, even in Iowa, you look around, you say, this planet's a dump. Because why? Sin. You ain't going to get there when you're only halfway. What she's groaning for is heaven. And you can't go back, and you can't go to Iowa to get it. You can only go through the suffering and get to the other side. Amen? Because you can't get halfway, you won't get to the finish. Amen? All right. Well, we're past halfway in this message. Wow, I'm going quick, too. There's more to all this than this. There's more to all this and this. It says, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? Pastor Dave's in Iowa. He's frustrated as all get out, trying to take care of his mom. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And I want to... just don't let anybody sell you short. There are those out there would tell you this is all there is. This is all you've got. This is the only thing that you can hope for. This is good as it gets. And Paul is saying, no, this is halfway. That the finish is on the other side. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15 says, if this is all we got, let's party. Let's get high. Let's go for it. Because we are to be pitied over all men if this is all we got. But he's saying, and I realize some of you might have done that this week. Don't let anybody sell you short. Don't let anybody let you think that this is all there is. Because you get halfway, it's halfway. You've got to get to the finish. Amen? Oh, that was a weak amen. There we go. Thank you. Hope. By definition means that there is more that's coming. Hebrews 11:1, famous verse. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You live in expectation for more. You live in expectation of heaven. You live in firm knowledge that what we see will pass away, that it is only halfway. Let me take you another picture. Jesus talking now. Gospel of John, chapter 14. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says to his disciples, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me. Halfway point, we wait for Jesus to come back. Do you live with your eyes fixed on heaven? Jesus coming back in the clouds? Halfway home and getting ready for the finish? Because if you don't, you might not be part of the family. There might be that coldness on the inside of your heart today where there might be a soul. Might be a spirit that's just dead. I hope that's not you. Paul hopes that's not you. The Lord hopes that's not you because he does not want there to be any confusion. So right now he's saying you're in the family or you're not. And the good news for you today is you can make a shift. Because I started off as an enemy of God and I am in the family now. Full heir, co-heir with Christ. And I hope you are too. Amen? All right. Holy Spirit is also looking towards a finish. We got creation, we got us, and we got the Holy Ghost. Let's take a look. In the same way, as what? That can be challenging. Talk about that in a moment. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know, this is the good part, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Amen. Spirit is looking ahead to the finish. And in the midst, as we are at halfway, we have supernatural aid from the Holy Spirit, that He comes and intercedes. He prays for us. He lifts you up. The situation Gail had this week, the Holy Spirit is there interceding in the throne room of God for Gail Canold and her family as her mother is ushered into the presence of God. That is some good news there. But it's only halfway. The Spirit is fully aware of the sin that ties us up and ties us down, and He intercedes for us. Paul opens this verse to me in a confusing way. And you might not care, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It says, in the same way. And you know, and I'm reading this Bible, and I'm going, okay, in the same way, and I'm going, in the same way as what? In the same way as what? In the same way as creation? Because He's talking about creation, and He's talking about us. And He's saying, in the same way, the Holy Spirit groans. See, creation is groaning at the halfway point. We are groaning at the halfway point in our suffering, in being living lives surrounded by sin. We are groaning. And He says, in the same way, the Spirit groans for us. So we have creation groaning, we groan, and the Holy Spirit groans at the halfway point, looking for the finish line. God is not pleased with the current situation. We are at the halfway point, and God is working it out. All that you're going through, and I know many of you are going through a bunch, God's going to use it. God will work it out for your good. But hold on tight. Because it's only halfway, folks. Lisa, you want to come up? Finish is on the other side. The second half, the football game, is the part that matters. Similar to our race with the Lord. I want to let you know how the second half goes. Not in too much detail. We'd be here for a long time. But we talk about the Holy Spirit interceding for us. We talk about the Holy Spirit groaning for us because of sin. Go to 2 Thessalonians. We'll end our time with this. The secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Make sure this music is right, Mike. The secret power of lawlessness is already at work, at the halfway part. But the one, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until He is taken out of the way. And we see a picture of the Holy Spirit restraining sin all over creation, all over this planet, all over your neighborhood, in your home, in your life. The Holy Spirit intercedes for you and restrains sin. And then, when He is taken out of the way, when the Holy Spirit is removed, the lawless one will come. And there will be an explosion of sin. The lawless one is the Antichrist who will come and bring in the great tribulation. There will be this explosion of sin. There will be no more restraint. In fact, the church will be gone. That there will be a meeting in the air. That we who are still alive will be taken up. And there will be pandemonium on this planet. The finish is on the other side. The lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, can I get a witness? We are co-heirs with Christ, and he is victorious in all things. In fact, he waits right now for his enemies to be made his footstools. He says, whom the Lord Jesus Christ will overthrow with his breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor, by his glory, the Antichrist will be overthrown. The victory is on the other side. We are at the halfway point. There is suffering. There is challenge. There is drama that we live in every day. And it would put a focus on the finish. It'll put a focus on the glory that is to be revealed. Jesus Christ comes with the power of his breath and the splendor of his glory. And we participate in that for eternity. Lord, I come to you this morning knowing that you are indeed. Don't clap, please. Right now, the Holy Spirit is bringing you comfort in your position in the family of God. He is saying, my son, my daughter, it has been a tough week. There has been challenges that surround you. There is victory on the other side. You're with me. You're in my family. And to some, he could be saying right now, I don't even know you. You're my enemy. You're not in my family. You're not adopted in. I don't even want you in my house. But I hold back judgment to give you the opportunity to join up. And right now, I extend an opportunity to surrender your life. To give up a life of sin and to grab on to a life of the Spirit, that I would come and I would bring that dead heart to life. I'd bring that dead soul, get it to breathing. I'd get you to the halfway point right now, today, because right now you haven't even started yet. I don't know you. You're not part of my family. With nobody looking around. And there is a coldness that has touched your heart. And you would say, Lord, I don't want to be cold anymore. Nobody looking around and say, Lord, I want to be in the family. Saying, Lord, I'm not going to hold on to my old life anymore. I want new life in you. I want a life of the Spirit. I give you my life of sin. I'll make a trade with you. Nobody looking around, but right now the Holy Spirit is on you. And what you are feeling, you don't want to feel anymore. Right now you can say, Lord, I give you my life. Lord is on you right now. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that is me this morning. That is me this morning. Back here, somebody else would say, that is me. Holy Spirit is on you. You are feeling cold back over here. I see you. Anybody else here? 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 Last shot. There, Holy Ghost is on you. It ain't me, it's the Holy Ghost. Didn't put your hand up, just saying, that is me. Just slide your hand up. That's how I got in. One last moment. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for your mercies, which are new every morning. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that there is no condemnation for us who are in you, that we are part of your family, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for those that are here this morning, Lord, that feel, Lord, the move of your spirit, Lord, the draw of your spirit, Lord, that they have indeed said, I no longer want this life of sin, Lord, but I would cherish getting to halfway that you would come into my life, into my life, into my life, into my life, into my life,